Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. And today I have with me a large crew. I got Hanako.
What's up, people?
I got Eric.
Hey.
Oh, wow. I have Daryl.
Hello.
And Stephanie.
Hello.
And today we will discuss Fear the Walking Dead. Mwah. Okay, guys. So.
Y'all know it's been a minute since we recorded, so we got
to start show.
Filling in. Night falls across the land.
1,000 years of funk.
So, of course, we are still watching anything The Walking Dead related because of Hanako and Stephanie and Eric. And perhaps.
How about we're watching it because there's some good ass shows? How about that?
Okay, Game of Thrones.
So we including this one in it?
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
So Fear the Walking Dead is a spinoff of regular Walking Dead. Of course, a televised version of the comic book. What is it? Image Comics that everybody has read except for Kat.
And me. Yes.
Well, I read the first compendium, but whatever. The premiere was the premiere was this Sunday, August, whatever it was. And I watch, you know, rarely we do something this in a timely fashion this way, but you know, we wanted to give you a treat, so we started. And I'll just like to start off a little bit of negativity. I was a little bored. I wanted people to die. Nick. Frequently and more often, and I will just throw out there that like the place that they are starting in this new TV show is just really not enough for me. I want the science. I want some more CDC or some underground lab. I want like to know if the Umbrella Corporation is behind it, or I don't know what I wanted to know. But this just starting like a tiny bit before like Rick's crew or adjacent to or whatever they're doing. I don't know. I feel like I've seen it before, but you know, we're gonna let everybody else get their opinion out. And you know who I'm gonna start out with? This is gonna be great. He's gonna hate it. Eric.
I tried to do this last time. It wasn't the greatest idea. Stay against type.
Eric joined us today and he has not even heard of this show before.
It's on a CW, right?
Oh
gosh.
Oh,
that CW zombie show. I'm prepared.
Oh my god. So I do. I just because Eric, we've been podcasting about this one for a while, and of course you read the comic books all the way through. Are you current?
Oh God, I'm so current.
Okay,
it's so good right now.
So this TV show has nothing, and we're not going to do comic book spoilers right now because I don't want to be spoiled, Eric. There damn it. But well, he said that there was something.
No, there's some interesting stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to depart right from the start, but without getting into anything, if you're reading the current comics right now, the latest issues, it's really interesting to compare that to what's going on in the current main Walking Dead show, because in a weird way, they're kind of mirroring each other. But I can't get into it too much without, like, you know, getting into details. But the dynamic that's happening with some of the main characters in the main show right now is kind of flipped in the current comic storyline. And I have to think, maybe that's somehow planned. Otherwise, it's an amazing coincidence of timing. But it's just some good stuff. And in the comic books, they're approaching issue 150. And every time they hit like a 50 issue, like 50, 100, and now it's 150, they usually try to build it up into like a milestone. And so it kind of feels like something important is happening. But
status change.
That's in the comic world. But anyway, back to Fear of the Walking Dead. What do you want to know about it?
How did it make you feel? What do you think about its attempt? Like, what do you think about it so far?
Well, I think right off the bat, it's coming from a super unfair advantage. I mean, disadvantage. It's just unfair for it to start the way it is. Because after I finished watching this episode, probably the first thing in my mind was the first episode of the original Walking Dead is a brilliant hour of television.
Mm-hmm.
It is if anyone hasn't revisited it in a year or two, go back. It's flipping amazing. Just episode one all on its own it's absolutely out of this world. But part of the reason why it's out of this world is because it actually works perfectly with that device of Rick being in a coma. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant device. So obviously this show, the whole point of it, at least at the beginning, is to start without that. So it's super handicapped from the very beginning. Because it obviously can't go the route as the original show, but then at the same time, now it's in that territory of all these zombie films we've seen before. So how does it navigate? It's obviously not going to duplicate the original Walking Dead, but without also treading over all these other zombie franchises, like it's just in a horrible position, I think.
Mm.
Like with everything stacked against it from the beginning, and especially with everyone having all the expectations of what they're used to from the Walking Dead world or other modern zombie franchises, which everything seems so adrenalized. And so this is like the anti-pill, I guess, what everyone's used to these days. So, yeah, I just think it's a super tough place to start.
Well, did you like it?
I was okay with it, but I'm kind of banking on the expectation that they're coming out the gate setting the bar low and that it's not going to be until perhaps the last two episodes or so of this mini season where you start to see, oh, this is what this has to offer. I mean, it just obviously didn't start with a bang out the gate. And I can only assume that they're working it that way. Otherwise, if this was just a completely new show that had no affiliation to the original show, then I would have zero faith at all.
Mm.
But I'm just banking on what they've previously done with the other show and that there is some plan here. As opposed to something like that we talked about in SFPL not so long ago. Like, I was thinking about humans a lot watching this episode, thinking about, for those who have seen that other AMC show, just kind of the way that kicked off and how it tried to create its new universe. And if you listen to this podcast before, you heard us discussing like the whole family dynamic and do we care more about the big story going on or are we even invested at all in these the family unit? So I couldn't help but think about that. And I was asking myself those same questions. Like, do I care about this family? I don't know. Are they going to make me care later?
Yeah.
Okay. So tempered expectations. Tempered. I certainly was not blown away.
Okay. All right. Stephanie.
Yeah, I asked myself a lot of those same questions because I don't expect the pilot to be the best ever in any show. I'm always pleasantly surprised when the pilot's decent. But I just didn't like this pilot at all.
Wow.
I'm going to give it a chance, but if you're not going to have a ton of gore and a ton of action in the pilot, then you should have a ton of investment in characters and universe building. And the universe was already kind of out of the box for them, so they really should have focused more on the likability or at least the interestingness of the characters. I didn't like Nick the junkie kid at all. I just couldn't with him. And I didn't have any sympathy for him.
Are you serious?
Not even a little bit. And it's because he turned around and started killing people without knowing. I mean, it's, I don't know. To me, you know, you're turning to your drug dealer again. That's not really sympathetic, but it's not even interesting to me. And then obviously your drug dealer is, once you realize that he's taking you down this path where you're probably going to have to fight for your life. I wasn't even sympathetic then when he killed the guy. I don't know. And maybe it's because I knew, oh, well, this is going to have to come back later to prove that he's not crazy. You know, it was pretty predictable what was going to happen with that particular dead body. And it was also really predictable what was going to happen with the old man and the, you know, death lungs breathing. That annoyed me. I mean, it was kind of fun at first, like, oh, this is a ticking time bomb. But it went on for a little bit too long. It was like a Saturday Night Live sketch that went on too long. It started out awesome, and then it went on forever, and then you wanted to break up with it. And then the mom character, she just, I mean, she was a better parent to the only person that believed this was something to be worried about, that dude who had the knife. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. She was a better parent to him than she was to any of her children. Mm-hmm. And then the stepdad character, he kind of sucks as a parent too. He was a better parent to this lady's children, but not so much to his own kid, really. So they just were not likable characters. And if your character, and it's fine to have an unlikable character, but you have to give them some kind of dynamics. I just didn't feel that. I felt like everything was on kind of middle of the road safe for the whole episode. Mm. And I hope that improves, because part of it for me is that the writing is so amazing on The Walking Dead. And I'm going to compare the show to the writing on The Walking Dead, and it just wasn't there in this pilot. That's it.
Okay. Hanako?
Wow, I guess I'm like the lone voice here, because I actually enjoyed it. And I will say this. Going into it, I didn't have any expectations because, Kat, you and I have discussed this before, when True Blood first started, they lost me in those first 2-3 episodes. Oh, yes. I literally almost gave up until, of course, the infamous AIDS burger scene. And that's kind of where the writing picked up. Yeah. And it was because...
That was awesome.
Right. And I think with this particular show...
We need AIDS burger.
You know what? Yes, there's going to have to be like one of those big moments. But at the same time... The show, the timeline of the show is that this is the beginning of the whole zombie apocalypse. So nobody knows what's going on. This show takes place during the time that Rick Grimes was in his coma. Wow. So it's at the very beginning. As you know, Rick was in his coma maybe just under 3 months, and the zombie apocalypse literally started about 2 weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks into his coma. So we're getting to see that little bit before, when everything was normal, just like in the first episode of Walking Dead, you know, he's on patrol with Shane and they're eating food in the car and they go after this chase and, you know, he gets shot in the line of duty. So we see everything being normal there. And I think that's the same here. It's just that we're in The Walking Dead, you know, Rick was, you know, he had his wife, he had his child, and everything seemed kind of normal. On the other hand, with Fear, we're starting out with this family that's not so perfect. You know, you've got a blended family of a mom and a boyfriend who just moved in together. One of her kids is a habitual drug addict, and the other daughter is basically, you know, moody and whatever. And then the other child doesn't want to talk to him. So it's like we get to see a different dynamic from the start, which could be why, you know, people may have trouble, you know, kind of embracing it, but it's very different. And that was something that I enjoyed, because it's like, oh, we don't start out with this happy-go-lucky family. It's like they've got struggles here. Now, as far as the characters, I will say this. Nick, as the drug addict, the actor who played him, I think he did very well in the role, because to me, he seemed to be like a sympathetic character. He really kind of showed just how difficult it is for people who have that kind of illness and addiction, you know, where on the one hand, he really wants to get better and he's telling his family, I really want to get better, but he knows something is not right. And as soon as that old man croaked in the hospital, he was like, oh no, I'm getting out of here. I don't know what's going on, but I got to figure it out. Now, it just so happens that the best friend who, quote unquote, we thought was helping him is actually the one that's, you know, enabling him. And that part of the story kind of sucked. But I don't know. I enjoyed that character. Now, the parents, I will say, was not feeling them at all. I didn't feel any chemistry. The way that they come across in their relationship, oh, hey, babe, and this, that, and other, I didn't feel it. You know, they're just, I don't know. Something about the adult characters is like the younger characters are a little bit smarter. They kind of see what's going on as far as Nick. And then the adult characters, like when Tobias, the student, came into the office and told, what's her name, Madeline, the counselor, you know, about it. You know, her reaction was, there's nothing going on. If something was happening, we would know. They would tell us. And I'm like, even in a fictional world, have you never, ever, ever, like, watched any disaster movie ever? Like, when do the authorities ever tell us stuff? So, I don't know. Just the adult characters came across as less believable to me than the teenage characters. You know, you've got the moody daughter who's supposed to be smart. And she's, you know, she's seems like she's kind of cool when she's around the boyfriend, but when she's around her parents or the mom, she's kind of moody. That's believable to me. Everything else, I'm waiting to see how they develop the characters over the next couple of episodes. But I didn't expect them to do everything in the first episode. I really didn't expect a lot of violence because, again, we're at the beginning of this thing. We're at the point where there's only a few isolated cases and they're trying to cover it up. So I wasn't expecting a whole bunch of violence, a whole bunch of gore like we saw with The Walking Dead. Even with The Walking Dead, we only saw one, you know, a couple of walkers in that first hour, you know. So I guess I'm a little bit more... I'm waiting to see what happens, but I enjoyed the first episode. I thought it was paced really well.
Okay. Daryl.
All right. one thing, I'm sorry. When you're making a show like this, this is not a show where they've come out of nowhere and this is, you know, this is something new or fresh. They've already done this already with The Walking Dead, and there've been so many other better written programs on TV that you can write characters better than this. Like, this is, these cardboard cutouts characters where you have a Madison, and she's supposed to be the archetype of being the leader, I guess, because she shows how stern she can be and how she can command people to kind of listen to her, like she did the boy, and how she's protective of the kid, you know, the weird kid that was kind of like the nerdy kid that knows all the secrets. He knows what's going on when no one listens. No one will listen to him. Other than that, you kind of got nothing else from her. Like, she didn't have, she worried about a son who constantly was in trouble. She kind of ignored the daughter. Then you have the stepfather that was, he was kind of the get along kind of guy who didn't seem to have a backbone throughout the whole show.
Does she do all the talking?
And then he didn't really even talk to his own biological kids. He seemed to be more in tune to her kids. And Nick, who they seem to be wanting to have as the focal character to weave his way through what's going on. I don't know why they picked him as that character, because they they made him, he gave off such a stink of the priest to me, where you don't really have a motivation of his emotional breakdown, except for he just feels like I'm the F up. That's
all. You're talking about Gabriel from the original show.
Yeah, Gabriel from Walking Dead. It's like a repeat of that. Like, he's running around, he's emotional, he's thinking he's hallucinating. Like, even the thing of when he talked to his parents and they're like going out of their way to kind of help this guy, and then he tells them, you know, like, this is it. He's going to have to get himself together. And the first thing you do when he gets out is to go find a drug dealer. I don't know any drug addict that's going to go find a drug dealer.
Yes.
That's every drug addict.
But I mean, to ask, he went to ask him if he gave him something stronger. And that's why I'm hallucinating. It just felt so. If he just went and found him just to get drugs, that's one thing. But I just didn't get the whole thing of him going through the whole thing of, did you give me something strong? There's something different.
This was his best friend. This was his childhood friend growing up. That's why the parents went to him when they couldn't find Nick. They went to this dude's house.
I got that. But to not answer and to leave them to run to get this guy, and they're looking for him. Like, he just got finished putting them through a whole thing. And he's out there and they're looking for him. And his motivation wasn't to just get drugs. His motivation was to find out if what he saw was real or not.
Well,
I didn't see the point of that. Like, to go through all of that, to get out, to run, just to find that guy, just to do that. Parents are just, it just was so, such a waste of time for me. And then the whole thing is, why would you send your two teachers, they evacuated the school because something is an outbreak or something terrible happening. Who would send your daughter on the school bus when you're both right there?
Again, that's why the parents don't seem believable to me, because if that was the case, my child would be in the car.
We'd take your child home. Like, I don't understand that whole
thing. So, yeah, and they saw some dude eat somebody's face off.
Yes.
They were there, yet they still sent their kids to school the next day. Well, I mean, so, okay, fine.
Well, they didn't
suspended disbelief. They don't know. Suspended disbelief, fine. They don't know that this is going to be something huge. Part of the pacing for me is, you know, we've seen stuff like this in other movies. Like, I know that World War Z had nothing to do with the book, but the beginning of World War Z for me was more believable in terms of how quickly that spread and the panic that ensued. Right. I mean, this is going over days and days. And
No panic.
Nothing really shutting down. And the premise of The Walking Dead made it seem like this happened. This ravaged the country really quickly.
The government couldn't answer. Like, the government had no response to it in time.
FEMA couldn't respond fast enough. And surprise there. But, you know, it just seems like, I don't know.
I disagree. Because if you look at the time frame, if you just kind of guessing from what they showed us, the first episode probably only took place within a period of like a couple of days. So if you're going to compare Walking Dead and World War Z, first of all, you have to compare the zombies. The ones in Walking Dead, they're slow. They don't run. They can't chase you. Not to that point. World War Z is like in 10 seconds, you get ghosted, you're dead. So
yes, but also, in terms of epidemiology, it's the virus that is the fast spreading thing. It doesn't really matter about the host so much. And
actually,
there are plenty of, especially in LA, where it just takes, I mean, that guy that was on the stretcher was pretty aggressive. Granted, right. Gloria, the zombie Gloria, was all slow and kind of dazed, but maybe it's because she was on drugs and that affected her as a zombie too. Who knows? I mean,
ate a lot, because it looks like she probably ate on a lot of people.
I was willing to accept that, but to me, the pacing was like, please, something happened. Because even in The Walking Dead, remember what's his face, Otis? Those were fast zombies. That episode.
Yeah, they were.
Okay? Those were fast because Shane got away all, you know, beat up and broke down, and even with a huge meal of Otis, Shane had to run. So I don't know. I'm trying not to compare, you know, this with the literature or this with the body of work of other zombie culture, but in terms of, okay, so what if this is bird flu or whatever? People lose their shit over that stuff. It's panic in just a few hours. And think about Ebola when that shit happened in real
especially
life.
A teacher.
I mean, people kept their kids home from school immediately. Right. People were trying to respond to this thing immediately, and this like, oh well, it's this flu, and people aren't showing up to work, and people are slightly aggressive. I mean, okay, even in Dawn of the Dead, the original one, you know, it seemed a little bit more fast-paced when those zombies were slower, and in the remake, that was more of a how I would imagine that.
And it didn't seem to take any chances with this episode, with the show either. Right. Like, even when the daughter, like, I could already see that the daughter's, and if I hope I'm wrong, but I can already see that Alicia, the daughter, her nice boyfriend is going to get killed.
Yep.
I could already see it when they were talking.
Dead. I mean, like, he's already dead, probably. Cal is dead. And then if you look at the promos for the season, it looks like Artie is dead too, the principal.
Right, I thought he was a red. I knew he was a red.
Oh, fake Obama,
ago. Fake Obama. Yeah, fake Obama. because the way that the way it was written, it put targets on people. I shouldn't see targets on people. Everybody should have a target.
I shouldn't
specifically see the targets of knowing that these people are going to die. Because when you start to see that, it takes away the enjoyment. And the kind of that fear that you have when you watch it of when someone's going to bite it. Because a lot of this is us watching, waiting to see who's going to get killed and who's not. And how they're going to survive this apocalypse. But instead, it was like, let's just get it done. Let's just put these things together, put these people together. Let's just repeat characters that we've written before. And it just felt so uninspiring. It felt like they pretty much slapped that Walking Dead title on it, knowing that we were going to watch it because how popular Walking Dead is. And it was like they don't even have to try for the first episode. If they switch it up for the next one, great. But you've already been through how many seasons of The Walking Dead?
Wow. We're coming up so on stage.
Every issue that they've had already, this should be better. This should not have an issue with writing characters in an ensemble like this.
Well, yes. Okay, so let me tell you what I think they got right. So the beginning of it for me, when Nick first wakes up and he's in this really terrible building, everything looks disheveled and look like, you know, they've been living in an apocalypse for months now. I really enjoyed that. It looked like some of the places that we've seen in Atlanta. And, you know, it looks like they were already in the middle of the zombie apocalypse. However, you know, he has this encounter and he has his scare and he's running away from the one chick. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, you're running outside away from one zombie just to run into a whole group of them or a horde. Watch out what you're doing. Yes. But then the twist is that he's running out into a civilized society with, you know, regular traffic and grocery stores and school buses and blah, blah, blah. So I think they did that really well. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I think the characters that they introduced, I'm like, we're going to have to be putting up with these people for the majority. And if if we have Nick as the main character, Nick and Rick, I don't like anyone. I would care. If they all died, I'd be very okay with that because I'm not attached to any of them. Also, I think Stephanie said, or all of you said, that in comparison to the other body of zombie work that we have out there, this Fear the Walking Dead had to be innovative because Walking Dead, when it first came out, like Eric said, it was innovative. It was brand new. It was something we had never seen before. You can go back and watch it again, the very first episode, and still be creeped out. And it has that kind of joyful wonder of creeping you out, scariness, and the newness and the tension. And this thing feels like that one show that Sci-Fi did, that zombie show that I watched the first episode of, and I was just like, man, I don't know. And then I didn't even bother with iZombie. And then it's just...
No, iZombie's good.
All right, Daryl. And I don't know. It's, I agree with Stephanie with, I wanted something to happen. I remember several times looking at my watch saying, okay, somebody needs to die. I need something to happen. I want to see some entrails. I want something to happen. And also, go ahead. Yeah. No.
Well, there's a comic called The Crossed, and it's kind of like zombies, but instead of zombies per se, when they get infected, it brings out all the impulses, all your urges. You're out of control. You become a different person.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes it fun to read is that every arc, it's a different thing. It's a different group of characters. So they can do whatever they want. Everybody could die in the story for all we know. And usually they do. Everybody dies, and then you go to another group in this world.
Wow.
And I would love the Fear of Walking Dead did that. Yeah. Because what would make it compelling is that they would have to take chances with these characters. There is no sitting and having characters just not have any type of a development and just sticking with the same, like, just the same little quirks that they, you know, that are easy to do on TV. Because I just feel like we're going to get... The mother is going to be the leader. Ugh. The father is going to be everybody. Dead. He's going to be saying you should support what the mother wants to
that
do.
That dude going to die. He makes dumb decisions.
Eventually, yeah. The kids, I can see them complaining, and she will have to constantly argue with her kids because they will not want to deal with her, or they'll be looking for her. At least she's going to be looking for her boyfriend, or why did you let my boyfriend die, or why can't you let me look for her, or whatever. He'll be looking for his kids, maybe. And, you know, he'll have that issue of not being able to find them. Like, you already can see the same thing, you know, to see all these little things happening.
Yeah, you can totally tell the story arcs a little bit.
Yeah.
I was a little bit nervous when all of the advertisements were from the producer, or no, for the network that brings you Walking Dead. And, like, not from the producers, not Mm-mm. from the writers. No. It was from the network, and it just... I was like, I'm scared now. And then it kind of came true for me because, like Daryl was saying, of course you're going to have some predictability. I mean, there is something to be said for the rules of the genre or whatever.
Right.
But I don't know. When I started to be able to pick out whole story arcs, I mean, you know the teenage girl is going to have that traumatic time, and then she's gonna, because they already established that she's smart and could be running the class, that she's gonna be scrappy in the end and lead her.
You're like your
safety.
Mother, and she'll be right, like, yeah, maybe I am, and I'll be nice to her again someday.
Yeah.
I haven't spoken in an hour.
Oh my god, Eric.
No, it's unfortunate that Humans, like Eric was saying, came out around the same time because Humans is doing this dynamic a little bit better. You know, they have the smart,
barely,
rebellious teenage girl,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, I just said a little bit. Then you've got, you know, the mom who, they're a kind of dysfunctional family too, but at least the characters have a little bit more depth, and not by much, but a little bit more depth. So it's kind of that to me speaks volumes. You could put the effort in, and not even very much more effort, to make the characters slightly more interesting, but nothing happened.
You think something's going to happen and then it doesn't. You did that once when you had Nick get hit by a car, when you thought the zombies were coming.
Yes.
Don't play that game with the principal then. Like, that's a rule that you learn in movies. You don't keep playing the same goddamn game all the way through that short in that short amount of time because the
Unless
audience
you're
will
Sharknado.
Stop. Right.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Because okay. the audience will stop being that feeling that you get, that anxiety, you'll stop having it when you keep doing that. Like if they did that with Nick, they should have had the zombie, they should have had the principal turn into a zombie. Or something. Like they should have had something in between that where either one of the kids turned into a zombie or something. But you have to, when you're going to do stuff like this, you have to put something exciting in between to get people hype again. And then you let it lull a little bit and then something happens. Like you have to constantly do that because if you don't, you just find yourself just it's losing interest in it at all. I didn't care by the time the zombie drug dealer came. I didn't care about that anymore. You knew that the guy was going to turn into a zombie. You knew that was going to he was going to attack the two, the mother and the stepfather, and it just you knew it so far in advance. As soon as he got in the car and Nick said that I killed them, I knew his body wasn't going to be there.
Yeah.
And you just knew everything that was going to happen so far in advance that nothing was a surprise in that. It just didn't even matter, except for Nick hitting him. With the car. That was the only thing that I didn't know was going to happen. I thought the father or the mother was going to wind up doing that.
Isn't that the same area where they did like Terminator films? And like, then they did like two short videos from like the 80s or something. And like, so I feel like I've been there.
Yes.
In this space, but
that's hilarious.
I don't know.
John Connor should have came out of there and like,
why are you here? Off. I feel bad. I think he should say.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
No, yeah, because what were you?
I was just putting my quarter right there. no, because I've been listening for a while now, and I just want to state for the record that I am not completely on board with what everyone's been saying for the last 30 minutes, at all. I mean, well, no, I agree. More or less with how everyone felt about the first episode. I got no problems with that. But what I mean is I'm still in a zone of thinking that some of these things may be like red herrings or like all these things that seem obvious. And I still have a bit of I don't know if you want to call it faith or what, that something's like things that are unexpected will happen. I have to believe that because not just because of the main show, but I mean, Robert Kirkman is still involved with this show as he is with the original show, as of course making the comic, and he's kind of the genius behind the story arcs and whatnot. But not only that, but a few years back, Robert Kirkman working with like a co-writer, like they wrote these Walking Dead novels, which started off with the origin story of the governor at the beginning of the outbreak. Mm-hmm. And I only read like the first quarter of that book because I got bored, to be fair. But I didn't like the writing style in novel form. But they had to do that there again, like retell the story more or less from the beginning. You know, spoiler, the governor was more or less a normal person at the beginning of the outbreak before he became who he became, like Anakin's guy or whatever. And also, there's also like the one-off comic where they talk about Michonne or where they tell Michonne's story on more or less the beginning of the outbreak. I think there's one for Tyrese as well, another one-off special. So, wow, you know, to keep doing it over and over again, it's obviously pretty tough. But at the same time, Robert Kirkman usually doesn't fit, like, reading the main comics for a long time, you know, he is really, really good at kind of, like, giving the reader or the audience a false sense of security, of thinking, you know, like, okay, and then boom, like, pulls the rug out. He's done it so many times, so successfully. I have to assume that they have tricks up their sleeves, like
they better.
From a literary point of view. Mm. I have to believe that because it would be so against everything that he's produced for the last, what is it? He started writing this in 2003. Like, I mean, come on. You know, if he had no involvement or very minimal involvement, then I'd be wildly more insecure. But because he's still an important force in creating this show, I have to think that there's like more to come, more unexpectedness. There's a whole lot of main characters that have not even been on screen yet. If you look at like the cast for the show, like the more or less primary cast, there's still a whole bunch of people I assume they're going to introduce next week or so. Another weird thing is going to be, because you were just talking about the aqueduct and all that LA scenery. You know, only the pilot was filmed in Los Angeles. All the rest of the episodes are filmed in Canada.
Oh!
And I just watched the promo a little while ago. Not the promo, but the little teaser that was aired at the end. Mm-hmm. I just saw it while you guys were speaking because it was playing in front of me. And I could... they disguise it well. But I could see a little familiarity of Canada in it. I mean, it wasn't bad. I mean, they had filters to make it look more sunny and brown as opposed to
green. But it's still AMC budget. I mean, they only...
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. I almost feel like just knowing Kirkman and his history, I have to assume that rather than this being seeming like a vanilla misstep for a premiere, I have to... If I was a betting man, I would have to put my money on maybe like a little rope-a-dope or something. But, you know, maybe just because I'm so for the home team and I'm like being optimistic. But again, he has a track record since 2003 of just like pulling the rug out from under you.
He hasn't had a perfect track record because remember the farm season.
Yeah, but no, but that was not his decision.
Well, that's when he was fighting for control.
That was not his decision.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, but he might have some fights right now.
Yeah, but a lot. He's not in like the driver's seat as far as, like, he's not the executive producer in that sense. Because a lot of things that happened in the early seasons of the original Walking Dead were not his call. Mm-hmm. And I think when the original show started getting really good, like, around the prison and after, that's when, like, the most recent producers got on board and like righted that ship. So he can't be blamed for all this. But that aside, no, he has no perfect record. But he does have a track record though of surprising you when you don't expect it. And he's done it to me so many times and I don't see any reason why he would stop now. So
I
don't
know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Steph.
I will say that this show has a ton of potential and that it apparently broke the cable record for the top premiere in cable history or whatever. And so it has the following. It has the potential for amazing episodes to come, you know, like when the virus does start going through the city in rapid succession, that's going to be when I watch because that's the interesting part for me. So I'm excited for that. That's all I want to say.
And also, you know, you guys are saying like that some of the characters already seem signposted, like they're probably gonna die. And maybe they are, but again, I look at them as almost maybe some red herrings as well because I feel like almost everyone's gonna die, pretty soon. I mean, like in the first season. I might be wrong, but I just feel like almost everyone's gonna die.
I would applaud if they had the guts, because TV don't. They don't. TV usually execs are like whatever group you start with, keep that cast.
And
that's what destroyed Heroes. That's what destroyed a lot of other shows that were going to try to do something like this.
I have to think because this is out of the Kirkman.
They don't have a problem with killing the characters. I mean, how many major characters on The Walking Dead have we lost?
Not Rick, but he should be dead.
But they
I have a feeling that's coming though.
But they do keep that core. Like you still have Glenn, you still have Nick, you have Daryl. You know, like you have Michonne. There's certain core group right now. I mean, that could change the next season, but I mean, they still have a core group that they're not getting rid of.
Yeah, but I still think that for this new show, like, there has to be a couple at least characters who you think seem secure right now who seem like this. In other words, they're going to pull, they have to pull like an Eddard Stark. Like someone who you think is like seems pretty
but no
secure.
One, but see, I won't be broken up by any of the cast that you have in that first episode. If any of them die, I won't be complaining about it 5 years later.
Yo, probably, right. Yeah, it's probably not going to hit that level. But I mean, there's got to be one or two characters who appear to be very secure. Like, you think, oh, they're going to be main characters. They're going to be around for a while.
Nick.
And they're just going to be gone. Like, I have to assume there's going to be somebody like that.
I can
that.
See Nick being at the alive at the end, I bet you. I have a bad feeling
like,
about that.
It feels to me, and actually, I want to say, too, I actually do like this Nick character. I don't know why. But I do like him. And he does seem to me like he will end up being, like, the long-running, like, one of the primary characters. Because it makes me think of something I've heard a lot. I've heard, like, psychologists and doctors say before that, like, just speculating, that I've heard them say a lot that people who are addicts in the regular world, and I mean our regular world, they say that if there was, like, a post-apocalyptic, like, situation, they speculate that addicts would be, like, the best survivors. Mm-hmm. In that type, so because they go, like, to any lengths, like, to get what they need or whatever mm-hmm. it is. So I kind of feel like he could be a very interesting primary character down the road.
That's another problem I had. Like, being an addict, fine, but addicts are smart. Like, I wish they had written him better. They're so much smarter and manipulative with people. Like, they could addicts find a way to make themselves endearing to the people that
well,
they
use. Well,
he
did that with the nurse. But, he did
yeah,
that with
the
nurse.
But again, you're basing it off of one episode.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're going, but that's on them, though. If you're going to do a slow episode, then give me a character building episode. They didn't do that. If you're going to do slow, that means you better write well. You better give me scenes where the acting is that good that I'm in. Even if I don't like Nick, make Nick compelling to me so that I want to see what Nick is going to do next. I don't think they did that with that. I don't think they did that with any of them, mm-mm. that they wrote them that way. Like, for example, there's a Mr. Robot, a show called Mr. Robot.
Woo, that's my show!
Which I have not seen.
The acting in it, but what I'm saying is it's a show with an ensemble and a drug addict.
Very well done, very yes. well done.
But the way that this drug addict is written, I'm sitting there rooting for this guy. And he's not exactly the hero of the story.
Yes, he is.
He is and he isn't. But the thing about it is, he's so in his head, I'm still with him because of the way it's written. I don't get that from Nick. I get that they tried to do that with Nick.
And you see that either, and then with Mr. Robot as well, sorry to cut you off, they pulled you in that first episode.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I cannot argue any of this.
Okay.
With not a lot of dialogue. I think he did
that. That is an absolute, a brilliant case of, like, hitting it right out the gate.
Boom.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that they could have done that with this. They could have done that with Nick, especially if you're going to make this guy the character that we're going to be stuck with for another 5 years.
I know, because if we're stuck with him, I mean, like, it's predictable that he's going to be the addict. Something's going to happen, and he's going to become stronger because and live right now.
Probably so, but with the comparison of Mr. Robot to this, I think, though, it's because this was two very different situations. I mean, as far as production, because with Mr. Robot, you have this whole thing where, hey, we have this brand new property that no one's aware of, and it's kind of a weird angle we're going with, so we better have our shit together, like, really, really well, because, like, we have no credit with anybody because they don't know anything about this,
right?
So we, and whoever created the show and everything, the concept, they probably had this idea in their head for, like, 10 years. It's like when a band comes out with their first album, like, they've been honing it and honing mm-hmm. and honing it, whereas Fear the Walking Dead, obviously, is a completely different situation. Everyone's like, hey, we've done this, been there, we're already heroes. You know, they're probably looking at the end game of the season one of this show, and they're kind of like, hey, we can probably, you know, rest easy on the beginning because we already have all this built-in cred. So they're probably focusing more on the end of the season. Whereas Mr. Robot's like, okay, we better get this, like, perfect because we're all going to lose our jobs, like, next week.
I agree with you on that. But I think that because there's so many zombie shows that came out after that, so many zombie flicks, that they needed to be innovative with it. And it just missed the mark on
that.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree on all that, for sure.
Yeah.
It felt like coasting to me. It just...
I agree with everyone on that. I just think that it's gonna really flip by the end of
it.
This
better.
Yeah, I would if they kill off every one of them and we get a whole other cast like to deal with. I will, like that comes out of this.
Yes,
well, I would applaud.
As long as it's not American Horror Story bullcrap. Like it's
no,
like,
I don't need American.
What do you mean bullcrap?
I'm talking about as far as like flipping it like for a whole season two. No, but I wouldn't be surprised though if a lot of the main cast for season two of Fear the Walking Dead is a very different crowd.
I hope so, because this initial crew is just not doing
well. I know that sister she's going to have to go because she's got another show to film. So.
Yeah, I did not even recognize her.
What is because she's Lexa on the 100.
Yeah, she's one of the like.
Oh, that show is about to get canceled, so she'll have time.
That show is on the bubble every time.
Yeah, I think it should get canceled. But I didn't even recognize her because she seems like a very, very different person. Like, I don't even care for her. I've watched all the 100. I don't really even care for her too much in that show. Oh, but she was my second favorite, possibly, in this show, in this pilot. And when
who
I
was
realized
your first favorite? Person,
Nick, probably. Really, well, so
but
far.
You need to sound like if you had a second favorite.
I said it was her.
But I know, but I say you have you're sure about your second favorite, but you like Nick maybe is your first favorite. That doesn't seem
because I don't even know why I like him. Because a lot of things that everyone else has said on this podcast, like I tend to agree. And he doesn't seem like the kind of character I would usually like in a show. So I'm a little bit confused myself as to
Kim Dickens, I like her. Like, she's been in so many things I've liked, like House of Cards, Sons of Anarchy, Gone Girl, Treme. I mean, I've liked her in so many different characters, but in this,
she's not doing it.
The first 3 minutes of the episode. I'll give it that.
Her character feels forced to me.
Yes, that's what it is. Totally forced. To me, like all her instincts to being able to play a mother would not. It's like they told her to suppress it. Don't do it.
I have more sympathy for the boyfriend guy
than
I do for her, just because he was willing to go investigate Nick's claims.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Though, didn't he do it?
He's a teacher. Why didn't you just call the police?
He went out to this crazy place by himself with no backup, and so mm-hmm. I thought he was gonna die the first episode. That was ridiculous.
I think he didn't believe Nick. I think he didn't believe him, and
he didn't.
He went out to.
You send the police. Nick has already told you it's a communal
drug den.
Mm-hmm. Right. So even if you don't believe him, you've already got the indication that there's like maybe a whole lot of drug addicts there, and everybody knows if drug addicts, if you push them the wrong way, they're gonna react.
You know why they did it though. I see a Chakotay in him. Janeway and Chakotay with him.
You're not helping, Daryl.
I know I'm not helping. But I see that with this show, the way that it's written, I see it. Like I know that they wanted to show that he was a strong character, like he's not scared, he's brave enough to go to that place by himself, and how supportive he is of the family. That's what they wanted to show by him going there.
The daughter is Belana Torres.
No, just stop. Just stop.
And then
no,
like,
it's just not.
And
only,
then like who's
only
and who's Tuvok? Tuvok, the principal is the Tuvok. And then like, who's Neelix? I think Nick might be Neelix.
Nick is
Paris.
Is the kid with
Paris.
The knife.
Oh yes, you're right.
Neelix is the kid with the knife.
Oh yes!
Yeah, Tobias. Yeah, there you go.
It's a Voyager. This show is Voyager.
this is awful.
So sad. I thought Tobias was Harry Kim, but
okay, I can go with it.
You know what, man? You might. Be
but really, I mean, if this is Voyager, I only care about Cass and 7 and 9, so everybody else can just go.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Where's 7 and 9? Because you know she's not going to be at the beginning.
She'll come later.
I was going to say because we haven't seen all of the main cast yet.
Exactly.
So.
Not at all.
That character will
come. I think one of the actresses that was posting Instagram and tweets for the premiere, I don't even think she was in the first episode.
There's lots of people not in the first episode at all.
Well, I can't wait to some of these extra folks get killed.
She might be Sadrin Holt, Dr. Bethany. I think she might
be. She sound like 7 or 9.
She might be.
Realize? Are you guys still doing? I haven't been on Sci-Fi Party Line in a long time, but I remember the last time I was on, we talked about a lot of Star Wars. And it was
a lot of Star Wars. Star Trek comparisons.
They did Voyager in particular.
You know what it is? Because TV, they write the writers come and go on the shows. And they sometimes seem to write the same characters over and over again. And I swear to you, Madison Clark is Janeway all over again. I'm telling you.
Except Janeway is gonna die. So
Rick,
this time.
No, Rick
difference.
Would be Shatner then.
Yeah, Rick is Shatner. That's a given. That's a given. He's Kirk. That's a given.
I think so. Daryl would be like a Klingon. He's Worf. Or maybe who is he? Who would he be originally?
No, Daryl's Worf.
Well, then we talk about TOS.
He can't emotionally bond with anyone, with his family.
He has very racist
siblings.
And he has a sense of honor that his family doesn't have. Or his people don't have.
Yeah. Never showers.
He's an outcast amongst his brothers. He had an older brother who pretty much tried
to.
With
his own older brother, Tony Todd, probably.
Yes, that's right.
This show just took a completely different
turn. So, Hanako, I feel like we thoroughly disappointed your pissed in your Cheerios about how we feel about.
No, because I knew just based on what I've seen on Facebook that everybody wasn't feeling it. But I mean, it would be a boring show if we all agreed on everything. Yeah, so
and who's gonna come at it with this angle that we just figured out?
Right,
the Voyager angle.
Yes,
I think we should try that for every episode of everything.
Oh my!
We can see if it works.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I don't know what just happened here, Stephanie.
Yeah. Voyager.
Any Star Trek people, let us know. Because I know
they agree with it. They was laughing.
I see it. Yeah. I can't be the only one that sees it.
No, I see it, and the air saw it too.
I'm sorry. You guys just made the analysis of the show way more interesting than the show itself. But
we've done it again.
Whatever. Okay, so I think we had a lot to say about this first episode. It had a lot to live up to. Maybe not, didn't meet all of our expectations. Wasn't probably as innovative as it could have been. But I think what I'm hearing from everybody that we're all going to give it a chance. We're not just giving up on it.
Oh,
yeah, they can get out of the dope. Never give up. I know they can.
You can turn to utter garbage. I'm still gonna watch this.
I'm gonna try.
Yeah, well, wow.
I will give up. I'm gonna raise my hand that if it doesn't get better, I will.
Wait, are you still watching? Are you still watching the stream, Stephanie?
That's a no.
I had school. I've been doing school.
It's homework, all right? It's homework.
But it got gutsier with guts. Okay, anyway, if anybody doesn't have any last thoughts, we can wrap this one up. Last thoughts, anyone?
No.
Need to plug anything?
Just read all the comments because I really need to talk to somebody about what's happened in the last 3 years.
And watch Voyager and then rewatch.
Right, I agree with Voyager.
I'm serious.
Hanako will be going to Dragon Con in
next weekend, yes!
All the
will be living vicariously through her.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Tell Abby I love her.
I will.
Okay, you know what?
Definitely will.
What? Whatever. That's our show. We love your feedback. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can reach us at scifipartyline on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye. We'll be right back. edit. Well, I don't know if I'm going to get around to it tonight because I'm going to go take a nap. So,
is it really a nap when it's 10 o'clock at night?
Why are you?
It's bedtime, Kat.
Treating me that way. Okay. Why is he treating that? I mean, God.
It's all right.
Stephanie, did you quit watching Hannibal too?
I just haven't caught up yet. I haven't quit watching The Strain or Hannibal. I just have to catch up.
Daryl and Eric, you, me, and Carl, we're gonna do a Mr. Robot soon. I don't know when.
All right, and well, let me know, because I have like 4 episodes to watch still of that.
And then you heard they pushed it back.
The finale. They're
postponing the finale.
Why are they postponing the second?
Because the finale has similarities to the reporter shooting that happened yesterday. So they're doing it out of respect. I think it's supposed to air. I think they said September 4th.
Damn it!
I thought it was the second or something. I
know it's sometime next week.
Right.
That's really creepy because that's not the first time something like that's happened with the television.
Yeah, it happened a lot of times, quite a few times.
Yeah.
Just wait till that zombie outbreak happens.
Oh my God! Oh, we're not going to air Walking Dead out of respect for the.
No.
At least I have a good reason to quit my job, though. That's the only reason I'm looking forward to it.
Quit your job?
What?
Zombie outbreak happens.
I guess nobody will have jobs.
I'm saying
nobody will have television.
Look at the plus side.
You know what I just thought about? Okay, so after Fear of the Walking Dead came out, I went to the website to kind of, you know, go through the extras and see what else they had. I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but do you guys remember the woman that was kind of like, she was a walker and she was in the grass in the park and she was like near a bicycle. This was like from season one.
Mm-hmm. And she was in half?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They actually have... On the AMC website, they have her story as far as how she got there. It's like at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. And I watched it, and it's kind of, I guess I would say, if you guys get a chance, watch it. It's only like 20 minutes long, but I want to see what your reactions are as opposed, like comparing her start of the zombie apocalypse to the first episode of Fear the Walking Dead.
Fine.
And just kind of see how it compares to you guys.
All right.
I would be really interested in your opinions.
Okay.
I would love the show. I thought about this while I was watching it. It would be something if the show finally ends with, it ends at the beginning of Walking Dead season one.
I just don't think they're going to do it, though. I mean, for geographic reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the timing would line up.
I was way before the show came out. I was like thinking, oh, maybe we get like a little Abraham cameo or something, or Eugene or something, like a Rosita. Like I remember, like just like fan wanking in that way, like when the show way before it came out. But I kind of feel like they're not gonna do that.
I wish they would have went further back.
What?
I think it would have been a lot slower as far as the development if they had gone farther back.
Yeah, at least when does it start?
It's kind of like a couple of weeks, so we will see some action. But like, I don't know if this is a show that I would think would go more than one season, because really, and I'm saying that because. Once you get into the whole zombie apocalypse and how they survive, really all you're going to be telling is the same story you're telling with the original, just on a different coast with different
characters. I agree with
that. No, I think not necessarily. Or I think they would have a different plan. I think it'd be different. Just like, again, if you read like those novels I was talking about The Rise of the Governor, part of the purpose of that whole storyline in the books is like showing like, oh look, Rick and his people went this way, Governor and these people went this whole different direction, and it's the same thing like when you meet the people from Alexandria in the main show, like, oh look, this group went this direction. So usually a different group in the Walking Dead world usually has some other like dynamic going on.
Oh, that's what we call Janeway.
Oh, Lord.
The Alexandria people.
Oh, all right, man.
I remember that really well. Yes.
But they already guarantee the second season of this show, so you know it's going to go that far.
Yeah, they're going to run this till it's
at least
for five seasons.
And I read this in many articles, and it completely makes sense. Like, part of the reason of having the other show, The Fear of the Walking Dead, is because just in case something happens with the main show, meaning, like, the actors in the main show, the regulars, the longtime regulars, they have big contracts, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So that show gets more and more expensive the further it goes.
Yeah.
And the same thing happening with Game of Thrones, by the way, with that show, which is why they're saying that HBO might do a prequel series later. Because they can hire like a whole new cast and start back with really low like actor contracts, but still making like the Game of Thrones money. Same thing with Walking Dead. They could still try to make Walking Dead money, like, mm-hmm. but with this new show paying everyone a lot less.
Well, they need to get on it because right now, I don't know. I was bored.
Well, it doesn't behoove them to run it for too long because they're not raising people's salaries. It just can't. They're not going to spend more than a certain amount for people. So it'll end. They'll do their five seasons and then they'll end it, or they'll
five
add
seasons
it.
Seasons in a movie.
And if it still does well, I bet you they'll try to do something else.
But the comics aren't ending anytime soon, and the story is so freaking amazing right now.
Oh.
Alexandria is like 5 years ago. Like, come on.
Stop
like,
talking.
Just read it. It's not like I hold the only copy. It's like anyone can read it. And it only takes a weekend to read 50 issues.
So I'm in school. Hanako has like children.
I understand, but the show's been around.
Stephanie
for
has children.
5-6 years now.
And a job.
You know, in the last 6 years, you could have carved out 3 weekends. In the last 6 years.
Yeah. And if any Star Trek fans want to know what would happen if Janeway had got married to Chakotay, this is the show.
Oh my God.
Come on. It's there.
Oh my God.
It's
okay.
All there.
Oh my God.
Could you see how many times did Chakotay do something where Janeway was like, no, we're not going to do this. I'm not going to entertain this.
This is not
and then
great.
Chakotay goes behind her and does and looks for her and says, I'm doing this for her.
It's not great because Voyager is my least favorite of the Star Trek series. I'm waiting.
Really?
I'm waiting
not Enterprise?
No, I want the Walking Dead Enterprise edition because
that's not going to do it for me.
I wish I was
because
podcasting.
Then the thing,
or
the
I wish
theme
podcasts
song?
Were a thing back when Enterprise was on TV because I was one of the biggest defenders of that show, especially the last two seasons.
The last two seasons, I agree.
That's when it got better.
Yeah. I'm not going to focus on the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Wait,
last
was four
seasons
of that thing?
Brilliant Star Trek television, the best stuff they had done since like the heyday of the Next Generation or DS9 heyday.
Yeah, when Berman got out of there.
Exactly. Preach it. Post it.
Oh my God.
I'm with you on that. I know. You can tell. They write the same thing over and over again. I got you. I know.
I really want to start cussing right now because this is like old wounds. I have old Star Trek. I've never podcasted much on Star Trek the series on any of the different shows, but I have a lot of pent up anger.
I hated Berman. I hate him so much.
Yes, so much. I can go on about this.
Yeah.
All right, folks. I'm gonna go to sleep now because you
nap. I thought you
This is you're right. Should be sleep drunk. Instead of a nap.
It's been a long
time.
Oh, where's Carl right now? Record this for Carl.
I'm still recording, so
I need Carl for this Star Trek. We need to do a Star Trek special.
Well, what are you talking about? I've seen every episode of every Star Trek ever. Daryl has.
I'm with it. Let's do it.
I'm just saying, play this for Carl because
Carl. Okay, whatever.
Just this 5 minutes right here.
Okay, Eric. I'll put it in the shawarma.
Be a lot more screaming and hooting and hollering right now on this subject. If he was
I'm doing
around.
It on the inside. Okay, folks. Okay, folks.
Alrighty.
Oh, Hanako, don't be that way.
I'm cool. you know me.
Yes. When the last SFPL for the finale of season one, Fear the Walking Dead, I have a feeling it's going to be a very different tune by a lot of people, maybe even me.
Like, I hope so.
I think everyone's going to feel real different.
Somehow. I do. I would like to eat crow, but...
I want to feel different. I want to be happy about this show.
Yeah, I want to be wrong.
Me too. Yeah.
All
right. Yeah, I gave the river.
I'm going to be right, so I'm not worried.
Stephanie, I'm with you on the river. I thought we were going to get good with the river.
Yeah,
the river. Butterflies came.
I have 8 episodes.
Oh, you talking about a TV show, The River?
Yes.
Yeah. That was a great show.
What?
I still think that you guys gave it a hard time. And it
never heard of it.
I haven't either.
That's because it only lasted 8 episodes. It was just supposed to be amazing.
I think you guys are...
It ended with the butterfly. It started out so well, though.
See?
It did! And then it was like...
Well, it had 2 extra episodes that made it make no sense. And then,
yes.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. All right, folks. I'll let you know when it's up.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for showing up, guys.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
End of line.